In James chapter 3 this morning, we're going to look at a subject that we are all affected by, and I entitled the message this morning, The Gift of Speech. And all of us have that gift. I don't think there's anyone here this morning that can't talk. We all can talk. So we have the gift of speech. Some of us are more quiet. We don't talk as much. Others are the other way. One of my coworkers that I work with is one of those who is very quiet. He only speaks when you ask him something. And I've had conversations with him when we were just us two, when we were eating lunch, and he'll open up and he'll talk more, he'll hold a conversation. But really his quietness is what endears him to me, in other words. He smiles readily. He's 67 years old, and he's just one of those men that are good. And the other side of it, in some of us that are ready to speak a lot, almost at any time, and I'm that way sometimes, that I talk too much, can get us into trouble as well. And even those who don't speak a lot sometimes say the wrong things, according to Scripture here. So I'm going to read chapter 3, verse 1 through 12. And see what we can learn today about the tongue. The heading on chapter 3 here in my Bible, in the New King James Version, it says, The Untamable Tongue. All right, verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, also able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at the ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity or unrighteousness. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. In verse 7, and we're going to read down to verse 12. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or in similar of God, in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? The answer is no. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? No. Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So this is an interesting text. It's an interesting book as well. I mean, James is quite a writer, I would have to say. And remember, this letter was written to the 12 tribes which had scattered to other regions because of the outward persecution. And James wrote this letter emphasizing duty rather than doctrine. And James was one of the guys that was part of the Jerusalem Council back in Acts 15 when they were deciding what they were going to require of the believing Jew or believing Gentiles. And so they had, James came up with this, like they had a discussion, and if you read it in Acts 15, we're not going to go there because of time for one reason. But he was the one who kind of laid it out at the end and said, this is what we're going to do. And everybody agreed. So he was kind of a very gifted speaker, I think, and as we see here, a writer. Very practical things that he brings out. Now, there's kind of four things that I wanted to hit today. The first one is the power of the tongue. Second one is the pitfalls of the tongue and the problem of an inconsistent tongue. And the other one is a pathway to taming the tongue and some practical things. And if we, I don't want to rush through it, but I also don't want to go way over time. I'm not used to doing that, so it makes me a little nervous. The power of the tongue. And all of us have this gift of speaking. Some of us, and sometimes we need to talk more. Some of us need to have a filter on our mouth. Some of us need to talk less. And so we've got all these different types of gifts of speech among us. And James opens with a sobering warning to those who would be teachers, reminding them that they will be judged with greater strictness because of the power of the words hold. And it seems like, well, let's go to verse, we're going to cover verse 2 and 3. I don't want to say things that I don't need to. Verses 2 and 3, James emphasizes the tongue's ability to direct and guide. And he compares it to a bit like a bridle in a horse's mouth. And if I remember back when we had horses, I remember back when we had even the work horses where we plowed and Dad did the field work with horses. When there's a bridle in there on their head, there's this bit that's right either on top of the tongue or under the tongue. I don't know, maybe those of you that are more familiar with them, but when you pull back on that, it makes this bit go down on the tongue to control the horse. Now, if we would do that every time we want to say something that we shouldn't, it would be good for us to do this. You can't talk at all, basically. Your words don't even sound like they're words. But James emphasizes this, that how small that bit is on the bridle in the horse's mouth compared to the rest of the horse, and how you can actually control him because of that. And the same thing with a big boat or a ship, how huge those things are. You think about the cruise ships or the barges that hold immense amount of weight, and they're guided in from the back where they have the rudder, and it moves this huge ship. And so he's making these comparisons. And James 1, we had previously when I preached on James 1, there's a verse in there that says, he that does not bridle his tongue, in other words, he who does not control it, you are fooling yourself and your religion is vain. This illustrates that even a small part of our being, the tongue is so small compared to the rest of our body. Our speech holds immense power to influence the direction of our lives for good or for bad. A question that I had, what is it about our dads when they say something to us, about us, that has such an incredible, profound effect on us, for good or bad? If your dad has had a tendency of speaking to you in a condescending tone, it has such an effect on you in a negative way. But if he has said words that were upbuilding, and I heard my dad say something about me when somebody asked him about me, I don't want to be confusing, but I remember hearing this other man ask my dad when I was pretty young. I don't know if I'd have been 11 or 12, somewhere in that age. The man asked my dad, "Is Laverne a good boy?" And I was a little bit away from them, but I was tuned in at that point. And I heard my dad say, "Yeah, he is a good boy." And that is so powerful. That is so, has so much effect on us in a positive way. Just as much as a father can say negative things to you and it hurts and it wounds so deeply. A dad's words, a dad's voice has such an effect on us. Now that's the power of the tongue. And I feel like I don't know to the full impact of how powerful our tongue is. Because sometimes I say things that I shouldn't. Even as a man of 65 years old, I still don't have it quite together in that area. But I also know the power of the tongue when there's something good to be said and what it does to other people, because it has done that to me. And that's what I endeavor to do. The second one is the pitfalls of the tongue, verses 5 through 8. James here, the writer, shifts his focus to the destructive potential of the tongue, illustrating it to a tiny spark that can set a big forest ablaze. In verse 6, he says that the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness, capable of defiling the whole body and setting the entire course of life on fire. The devastating consequences of careless or malicious speech are highlighted. Hurtful words can leave lasting scars, destroy relationships, and even poison lives. Malicious simply means that you say things on purpose to hurt. And sometimes we don't even realize that we're doing that. And somebody needs to point it out to us. And now, at that point, are we open to receive correction? And it seems like sometimes we assume things about a person. And here I think we could talk about gossip and so on that could be included in here. We can have an assumption about another person that's a negative thing, perhaps. And we go to somebody else, our friend, and we share our assumption with him or her or them. And that person may say, "You know what? I felt the same thing." Now, everything is okay at this point. But when it seems sometimes like when another person sides with us, in other words, in our assumptions, then we conclude it as fact. That's where it has went sour, and it has went way south, and we shouldn't do that. Because the person isn't there, for one thing, to defend him or herself. But it's a negative thing. It's the pitfall that a tongue can make happen. And he makes a stark reality here in verse 7 about the animals that we can tame. You know, if you've went to SeaWorld or those places where they have the big whale and they've tamed it, they've trained it, and all kinds of wild animals that we can do that with. But the tongue is another story. He describes the tongue as restless evil, full of deadly poison. And in 1 Peter 4, verse 15, it says, "Let none of you suffer as busybody in other men's matters." And when James describes in verse 8, when he says, "But no man can tame the tongue, it is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison," it seems like it's a restless evil. It's restless, and when I think of something that's restless, it's always operating, it's always moving, it's busy. And Peter just tells us that let none of you be that in other men's matters. Just be quiet. And the third thing is the problem of an inconsistent tongue, as talks about in verses 9 through 12. James exposes the hypocrisy of using the same mouth to praise God and then this curse fellow human beings and brothers and sisters in Christ who are made in God's image. That shouldn't be. But I am with you today because I am human, and sometimes it happens still with me. And I am sorry for that. Verse 10 and 11. This inconsistency, James says, is contradictory to the nature of a true believer, like a spring that shouldn't yield both fresh and salt water. Our speech, he also says, should reflect our transformed nature in Christ, consistently demonstrating love, respect, and grace. In Proverbs 15:1, it says, a soft answer turns away anger. And I've experienced that. I have been the one that answered with a soft answer, and it turned away anger. The fourth thing is a pathway to taming the tongue. And that could be the longest part of the message, because it takes a lot of, we need a lot of help with our tongue. We need sometimes someone to say, okay, you've said enough. We need a spouse that would do this a little bit. And my wife does that sometimes. Gently puts her hand over on my knee or something. And I do it for her as well. It's a gentle reminder. Just watch what you're saying. Say it with grace. Say it with love. A pathway to taming the tongue. Recognizing the struggle. In other words, owning it and admitting it and acknowledging that you need help with your tongue. James implicitly, he points to God as the source of strength for transforming our speech. Recognizing the struggle. Abiding in God's word is one thing that we can do. We can saturate our minds and our hearts with scripture and meditate on the truth of God's word, and it helps to shape our thoughts and our words. John 15, verse 4, it says, abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. It's an invitation from Jesus. It's an invitation from Yahweh, Father. Come to me. Learn of me. So we need to saturate our minds with scripture and with godly things, godly truth. The next one is prayer, is a pathway to taming our tongue. Ask God for help in guarding your lips and speaking words that are true, kind, and necessary. This is crucial. Next thing is pursue maturity. As we submit to God through trials and temptations, He cultivates maturity, including self-control over our speech. James chapter 4, something that we'll get to in another message as I continue going through the book of James. It says in chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. It's a promise that if we saturate our minds, we go to Him and we draw ourselves to Him, He will come to us. And we will mature. Pursue maturity. Another verse in Matthew 5:48 says, be mature as your Father in heaven is mature. Some practical steps. Consciously choosing to speak gracious words that build up others. Actively avoiding gossip, slander, and negativity. And being slow to speak, especially in vulnerable moments, can help cultivate godly speech patterns. Sometimes we're in vulnerable moments. We're passionate about something. And we just say things that could hurt. We want to get our point across. We want you to know how we feel. Why? I want you to know my opinion. Other people don't really, maybe don't want to know your opinion. Think about those things before you speak, even in vulnerable moments. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. That's also in the book of James. In conclusion, James 3, verses 1 through 12 that we've read, that was our text today, serves as a powerful reminder of the incredible responsibility that comes with the gift of speech. While the tongue is capable of incredible good and devastating harm, we are not left without hope. I do not want to paint this picture that it's, you're just, there's no hope. That is absolutely not what I want to leave with you. I want to tell you that through a transformed heart, a reliance on God's Word, the Holy Spirit, and intentional practice, we can aim to tame our tongue. It is possible. I know it is. Using it to bring life, build up others, and reflect the glory of God in our daily interactions with each other. And God bless you.